Welcome to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, a program brought to you by Patients for Patients with Kidney Disease and their families, hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now here's your hosts, Ashley and Don.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Ashley and Don. I'm Don, and Ashley is actually in studio in Linwood, Washington with her mom today. And then we have Steve Johann, our producer, there as well. We're going to be talking from the point of view of a caregiver and how they view the process of kidney disease and all the stuff in between. Both the good and this might be a little emotional today. I don't know. But, I want to welcome everybody. Marilyn is Ashley's mom. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you.
And Ashley, it's always good to have you here in studio. Help me out.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It's kind of a different kind of show that we're doing today, but I'm excited. I think it will be really good and really helpful for a lot of people.
Yes, I'm really excited too. And I'm in Colorado Springs. So there may be a little bit of a delay sometimes between asking the questions and getting the answers and stuff, but we'll all muddle through this and get this going. So, Marilyn, bless your heart. We are so tickled to have you in. We've had other people here talking about caregiving part from a different point of view, that of a donor, actually. And this is the first time we've had a caregiver from the point of view of a mom. So when you found out, when you first found out that Ashley had kidney disease, how did you feel and how did you deal with the news?
I think in the beginning I was shocked. It took a while for her to be diagnosed. A couple years. She was very young, 14 years old, and she was an athlete playing soccer, and she kept injuring her ankle, and they were saying that she was falling and spraining it, and it ended up that she had gout. So it took a while for it to be diagnosed, and I think it was shocking because in my head I wanted it just to be an injury as a sprain, and as a mother you don't want any kind of long terminal thing. So, and I knew nothing about kidney disease at all, so I was shocked, scared, hurt, and back then, this actually, today is Ashley's birthday, she's 33. So this was many years ago. She was just 14. So almost 20 years ago. Gosh, you know. So how many years was it? Is it 29 years? No.
So, I mean, it's
19 years.
It's been about, I was about 15. So I guess it's been about 18 years
since I was diagnosed. Yeah, many, many years ago, and we didn't have the convenience of Google back then like we do now, and even cell phones. So things weren't as, I couldn't get as much information as I would have been able to get now. So it was really scary. It was frightening. And I didn't really know, I was a single mom, and I didn't really know where to go with that. In the beginning.
And Ashley, being 14, 15 years old, a young lady, trying to figure out what her place is in the world and everything. How did you feel when you found out that you had kidney disease and how did you handle it? I mean, did you act out? Did you shut down? How did you go through this process?
I mean, being 15, I was young, and I knew that something was going on because, time and time again, I was getting gout, and the doctors would just say, how did you injure yourself? How did you do this? Was it playing soccer? Was it playing tennis? You know, what were you doing to injure yourself? And I kept saying, I didn't injure myself. I swear, I didn't do it. And so I knew that there was something going on, but I wasn't sure what. So when I was diagnosed, I guess there was some relief. You know, we kind of had an answer. But also, I was 15. So, you know, you're 15. I was in high school. I was invincible. You know, so I had this kidney disease, but it wasn't going to stop me. I don't feel like it was something that I took seriously. It was kind of my mom reminding me to take my medication, taking me to my doctor's appointments. So it was something else that was a part of my life and that I did. But it wasn't something that, you know, if I was diagnosed now, it would be a much different story being 33 compared to being 15. So it's just, you're young. And I didn't take it that seriously, to be honest. It wasn't something that I was telling my friends. It wasn't really something that I was sharing with people. It was just something else in my life. And I was kind of going through that routine, just doing what I had to do, taking my meds and going to the doctor. So I really didn't take it as seriously as I should have, even with my mom's encouragement, especially when it came to diet and taking my medication. And you probably shouldn't eat that because it has a lot of sodium. You probably shouldn't drink that soda. You know, did you take your meds tonight? So she was really on top of everything. But, you know, you're 15 and you know it all and nothing's going to hurt you. So I kind of had that mindset.
Yeah, and did either of you try to find some outside help? And was there any resources that you could turn to that was going to be helpful? You know, and you say we didn't have Google back then. Well, you know, we have Google today, and if you Google anything up, you'll hear the horror stories and all that other garbage just as much as you find help, and you really got to sort through it all. But did you guys find any outside help? And what were the resources, or did you find any?
I mean, 18 years ago, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but compared to what the resources we have now, it was that long ago. And I mean, now you can be sitting in a doctor's office. They can diagnose you with a chronic illness. You can pull it up on your phone, read the symptoms, read the treatment, you know, read what you can do next. And we didn't have that option back then. So there were resources. We had the internet. It wasn't that long ago. But it wasn't, everything wasn't readily available at your fingertips. So I felt like, and my mom may think differently, but we really used my nephrologist as a resource. He was the expert. He was the one who diagnosed me, and he was kind of the one that we turned to with all of our questions, that we turned to with our fears, that, you know, he was there to kind of support us through this journey because I was so young. I'm so grateful that we had him. He was the perfect doctor to kind of have back then. He was tough on me because I needed it because I was 15. And like I said, I was invincible and nothing was going to hurt me. So he was honest and he was tough and he'd say it like it was, because a lot of times I needed that. I needed somebody, you know, who wasn't my mom to kind of sit me down and say, this is what will happen if you don't take your meds. But yeah, I felt like for me, he was our best resource back then. Cause it was just, you know, it was different. It wasn't like it is today. I didn't have a cell phone in my hand that I could just look everything up on. But my mom, I don't know. Do you feel differently? Or do you feel like he was our best resource?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely was a great resource. And I leaned on him a lot, to where I remember going in there and just crying to him and asking him the same questions over and over, because I couldn't quite wrap my head around what was really happening. And I think I was in denial a lot of the time, because I didn't want this to be happening to you, and I wish that it would have been happening to me. So he was wonderful, and I'm really grateful for that, because a lot of times with doctors, they don't always have that bedside manner, to where Dr. Hockenstead was wonderful and very, very patient with me, and we found some other things that we had in common just with our life in general, to where, yeah, I definitely, I can't imagine having someone, like, I really bonded with him, and he was amazing. But it could have been, we were very, very fortunate to where it could have been very different, you know, if he wouldn't have been the way he was.
Oh, definitely.
So.
Did you guys feel alone at any point during this? I mean, that's one thing to have a doctor to go to and to talk to, but was there any other resources out there that would maybe kind of like help you through some of that loneliness, that part where, you know, I wished I had somebody to talk to about this that understood, or how do I help my child through this? And really, what is my role as a mother or a father, you know, through all of this deal? And you know, it's kind of like a wilderness sometimes you find yourself in. Did you guys have any outside resources other than the doctor, or did you end up in that lonely? And I guess some are even depressed going through this.
I don't feel like I had a lot of resources. I wouldn't say that I felt lonely when I was first diagnosed, because it was something that I really kept inside. So I really didn't share about my kidney disease until I had to. And so from 15 to 28, when I started dialysis, I mean, I was at work. I worked at an animal shelter. I had a peritoneal dialysis catheter, you know, that was coming out through my stomach. And I mean, sometimes it would come unwrapped and it'd be hanging out down below my shirt. And people didn't know that I was doing dialysis. So I really didn't feel alone until that point, because I wasn't sharing except with my close family. And I really wanted someone my age who I could talk to, who was kind of in the same point of their life, who understood what I was going through. So it's one thing to have, you know, an amazing supportive mom or husband or sister or friend. But to have someone who really understands what you're feeling, they understand, you know, the hardships, you can complain and they get it. They can lift you up because they've been there. So I really didn't feel like I had that. I felt like, and that's with the resources that we have today. So, I mean, I'm a part of kidney groups online on Facebook, because I mean, you can kind of find anything now. And so I did have that, but it was hard to find. It wasn't easy. And so I didn't feel alone in the beginning, because I just kind of, you know, pushed it aside. It wasn't something I was sharing. But as I kind of got deeper into this, it became more serious. When I started dialysis, I really was going into kidney failure. That's when I kind of felt like I could really use somebody who understands what I'm going through. And so I didn't really feel like I had that. I did have really good support. I don't want to say I didn't, but I didn't have that person who understood, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Can I butt in for a minute?
Of course.
Is that because your age for what you dealt with is not as normal as someone who's much older, and therefore there's not as many individuals your age that go through this?
Yes. I mean, I don't know exact like the statistics, but if you go into a dialysis center, you aren't going to find many patients my age or younger. They are definitely out there. And that's kind of why I joined the group, The Road Back to Life, because I wanted to be that person for people who are younger. So for younger adults, you know, kids, even people who are in their teenage years, because I didn't really feel like I had that. And the people that I know who have gone through this have been incredibly supportive, who I know now. But I still haven't found that person, honestly, who's, you know, my age, a young adult, trying to get through their life, trying to start their life. And it's kind of halted because of, parts of it are halted because of this disease that you're dealing with.
Is there anybody who has a different type of disease, a different type of illness, who is battling a similar scenario, not not the dialysis, but they have to have treatments, they have to have that, that maybe you could cross-pollinate and hook into someone closer to your age? Because there are so many individuals with multiple different things that go wrong that maybe it's not dialysis, it's not kidney, but maybe it's diabetes, maybe it's something else where it's just, it's horrendous, and they don't have anybody to reach out to as well.
Yes, and I do have a friend who deals with many chronic illnesses, and we keep in touch, and we definitely can relate on that level. But I do feel like there's a difference between, you know, relating because of a chronic illness and what you've been through or what you're going through, and really relating. Like, I understand sitting in a dialysis chair and your struggles you may have faced there. I understand receiving a transplant and your struggles you may have faced there. So just speaking to someone, and even the people that I've met now who aren't my same age, it has been incredibly helpful to say to someone, I'm having a really hard time with this, and they get it.
Yeah.
They completely understand, and they can just say, you know, I've been there. And this is what helps me. And just connecting on that level, I think, makes a huge difference.
Is there any move to get a Facebook group or anything like that across the United States or beyond for part of Road Back to Life or other organizations to possibly bring in those other individuals so you meet someone that's your age? And then not only are you chatting, but you can get each other's phone number and you can be talking on the phone at 9 o'clock at night or whatever, and just walking through this thing with each other.
I mean, I've definitely thought of different things. When I joined the Road Back to Life, I expressed to Bob that's kind of why I wanted to join the group, was to help, you know, younger adults who are dealing with kidney disease. I've sat with patients at dialysis centers who are younger, and we've talked, you know, I've talked to people on the phone. So I've done that. It's hard, and I hate to say it, but life gets busy.
Oh,
so there's
yes.
a lot of things that you want to do, and then life kind of gets in the way. It doesn't mean that it won't happen, but it's kind of fitting it in. And they do say, you know, you kind of get a transplant and then you get busy. So it's fitting it into everything else that's going on. So that's why I enjoy so much doing this podcast with Dawn, because I feel in my own way that hopefully I can reach out to people who are younger, like I've always wanted to do, as well as other people too. So kind of help in my own way.
And Marilyn,
and we do have a Facebook page too, Steve, and we do try to reach out in that manner. But it's really kind of a funny thing. People with kidney disease, because you don't see it on the outside,
no.
Have a tendency to be extremely private about what's going on the inside. And so you were going to ask another question, Steve.
Well, I was going to say, Marilyn, being a single mom, who did you reach out to besides the doctor? Do you have close friends, other family members, a faith community, or work, or what type of scenario did you go to? Or was it, like Dawn was saying, more of a, I'm going to keep it to myself and not share?
I think in the beginning, I had such little information on understanding what it was, to where when you're confused and don't really get what's going on, it's hard to share that because you don't even know what to tell people. And I didn't really know what the diagnosis was or what was going to happen. And I was terrified. You know, I was so scared. We had just moved out to a new area. We lived in Shoreline area in Seattle, and then we moved out to Marysville. And so we were in a new area. And actually, during this time, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so she got very, very sick, and she ended up passing away. So that was really difficult. Ashley was close to my mom. And so that was another just really tough time, and we had some personal things going in our family that was, you know, just family things that weren't so good either. So yeah, I mean, I think for the most part I kept it all in for a very, very long time, and I just tried to be strong for Ashley. But it was difficult because you need to remember she was just in high school. She was a teenager, and so it's hard back then. to even tell your daughter to clean their room, let alone yep. take their medicine. And so they want you to be wrong no matter what. So it was a difficult age all around, and we were really close. And thank God she was a really great kid. Like, I didn't have any problems with her being just a challenging teenage kid, which is normal. But it was just a really difficult time all the way around. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And that kind of leads me to the next question. And that is, what kind of toll did it take on you guys' relationship and personally on you, on each one of you guys?
For me, I mean, it's hard to say because it was so much different when I was diagnosed because I was 15 to compare to now. So I've done a lot of growing up. My diagnosis, it forced me to do a lot of growing up. I had to make, you know, some adult decisions and really take care of myself early on. You know, when a lot of people in their early 20s, you know, you're just kind of having a good time and going through life. And, you know, it's something that you think about all the time when you have kidney disease and you're in renal failure. So I think I coped with it just by leaning on the people who were close to me the best way I knew how. So I kept a lot of things to myself because I thought that I was protecting the ones around me by doing that, not sharing everything, but sharing a little bit. And I just, you know, I was married young, and I'm still married to him today. And so leaning on my husband, leaning on my mom, you know, leaning on my sister and my other family members, leaning on friends a little bit, but not everybody really knew. And so it was just kind of, you know, using the support around me, but I also kept a lot of it in. So it's just, I did it the best way that I knew how, but I'm also a private person. So I did keep a lot of it in. I looking back now, I don't think that I would do that again, but I kept a lot of it to myself. How did you cope with it, Mom?
I think for me is I'm a pretty outgoing person, and I became pretty introverted, and I held everything in too. And in my family, a lot of times growing up, if you had an issue, even as serious as this, you just didn't talk about it, and you didn't complain. And so for me, I didn't realize the severity of it. And so I just held it in, and it took a toll on me. I wasn't sleeping at night. My anxiety became very, very high. I was overwhelmed and doing some things, medicating maybe at night with even alcohol to try to sleep. To where it was just, I was so overwhelmed, and I didn't know who to reach out to. And I wasn't seeing anyone at the time. Like now, even after Ashley's transplant, I've been seeing a counselor, and it's helped immensely. You know, and now when I look back on what we went through and what we've gone through and what we'll always go through, it's so nice to be able to talk to someone that wasn't part of my family or wasn't so emotionally involved, to where that's helped huge. But back then, yeah, I didn't know what to do. So I really held a lot in.
And I just feel like you're doing the best you can in that situation.
Survival.
Trying
mode.
To survive.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back and you think, I would have done this differently. I would have reached out. I would have sought counseling or whatever it may be. But in that moment, you're doing the best that you can. And for me, it was, you know, not sharing. And for my mom, it was not sharing. And just kind of dealing with it internally ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal. I really do. When one feels like talking about it, the other one doesn't. And so they don't bring it up, and vice versa. And so nothing gets said and nothing gets done and things get stuffed. And when things get stuffed, they sometimes end up coming out sideways and upside down and just all kinds of craziness. So, you know, if you guys can stick around, we want to finish this up. I think there's so much more to this story that needs to be said. So if that's okay with you guys, and we'll call this part one, and we'll come back and we'll start with part two. So if you like what you heard, tune in to part two when it shows up, okay? Anyway, this is Don and Ashley, and we're just saying, be kind to one another.
We hope this week's show has provided you with valuable information and inspiration you can apply to your life. Keep in mind, anything said on this show is for educational purposes only. As always, we encourage you to write down your questions and take them with you to your health care provider. If you have any questions for us or would like to talk to one of our mentors at The Road Back to Life, please feel free to email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com. And we'll be happy to assist you. Now here's Don with this week's thought for the day.
It makes a big difference in your life when you stay positive. Ellen DeGeneres.
This is Steve Johann on behalf of Ashley and Don and the team at The Road Back to Life saying thank you for listening to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, and for allowing us to be part of your journey. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now, go out and be kind to one another.